You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. 0% financing for 84 months right now on the 2017 Chevrolet Silverado, plus up to 10 grand in price reduction. This may be the best deal on Silverados ever. Check it out, Lakewood Chev.
Our good buddy Chris O'Leary, who's now with CFL.ca. I had you on to talk CFL, and we'll get to that. But I know you're a massive basketball fan. We got to go to this Cavaliers-Boston Celtics trade. What do you think of Kyrie Irving, now a member of the Boston Celtics?
It's still kind of unbelievable.
Yeah.
When the trade first broke last night, I started thinking that it was odd, and it didn't seem like really a fit. I mean, I think it's a good pickup for Boston to get Kyrie Irving. To me, I think that's a future MVP. He's still, I think, only 25. Mm-hmm. I think he's done amazing things in his career already. He's going to only get better as his career progresses. So I think that's a huge pickup for Boston. Coming back for Cleveland, in terms of just player for player or player for players, you wonder if you can replace a Kyrie Irving. But I think if Isaiah Thomas gets healthy, that's, a big get for them. And it kind of allows LeBron to do other things and not just solely have to be the point guard as well as, 3, 4, and 5 on the court. But I think it's interesting, and I think in the long term, I think it really helps Cleveland. I think having that Nets pick for 2018, that could fall anywhere between 1 and 10. That helps them long term, especially if LeBron does choose to leave in free agency next year, and also if Isaiah Thomas wants to sign elsewhere after next season too. So I mean, I think it's worked out for both sides. I mean, I think kind of to me, it's just surprising you don't see a top team in the East like Cleveland very often trade with a conference rival like that. And, you've made the number two team in the East that much better now, I think. So it'll be interesting. And I think, perfect scheduling. I think they play each other on opening night. Yeah. So, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be fascinating to kind of watch it unfold this year.
It's been one of the craziest off seasons in the NBA. It's been fun to watch. And just look at reporters are trying to get 2 weeks off. I think Brian Windhorst, who covers the Cavs better than anyone, was in Rome, had to wake up at 1 a.m. to break this deal. Like, it's been so much fun to watch on the outside. Well, let's get to the Canadian Football League, which has been also pretty fun to watch so far this season. Week 10 kicks off tomorrow night. Friday night, the Eskimos host the Riders. The Eskimos, Chris, are 7-1. And everyone, including their plane, has been basically on the injured reserve. How impressed have you been with the Eskimos through 8 games that they're 7-1 despite all these injuries?
I mean, I think overall, I don't think I've seen a start to a CFL season like this in the time that I've been watching it, just in terms of the closeness of the games and, just these kind of buzzer-beater finishes, crazy comebacks. And I think the Eskimos might be on top of all those storylines just because of the injuries. I mean, from week one, it's been somebody substantial. Every week, it's like lands on the 6th game. Two more guys, I think, yesterday land on the 6th game. And, they've just continued to find ways to win. And to me, that's incredible. And again, that's something else that I don't think I've seen it to that extent where a team is so beat up, lost so many key guys. And you think like Darius Bowman, J.C. Sherritt, John White, Marcus Howard now up for the season, even the long snapper, Ryan King, just injury after injury. And you'd think that, I think for a lot of teams, it would kind of slowly start to wear on your morale and just it would kind of decimate the locker room just in terms of a day-to-day or week-to-week situation. But they've just found ways to keep winning. The next guy has stepped up, kind of lived up to that cliche of next man up. But no, it's been incredible. And I think losing Marcus Howard is a tough one. I think they sounds like they're getting Amanda Sewell back this week. So I mean, that I think those were two big losses just in the short term. And to get Sewell back and now to pick up John Chick, that kind of plugs some holes on the D-line. And, they've been having an amazing season, and, we're only halfway through.
Yeah, and they still have to play a game tomorrow, but at worst, the Eskimos are going to be 7-2 heading into Labor Day. The old cliche is the season doesn't start until Labor Day, but regardless of what happens on Friday night, they can stay healthy. They're in a very good spot heading into Labor Day. We're joined by Chris O'Leary from CFL.ca. Jason Moss, this is his second year as a head coach for the Eskimos. He's had to obviously go through a ton of injuries. How impressed have you been with what you've seen from Jason Moss on the sidelines this season?
It's a huge part of their success. I don't think they are successful without Jason Moss and his coaching staff and the structure that he's implemented now. You're starting to see the continuity carry over. And I think Mike Riley is just incredibly comfortable with Jason Moss and with Carson Walsh as the OC. I think it's kind of everything sort of aligning perfectly. I think Riley's coming into the prime years of his career, would have been playing his best football regardless of who his coach was. But I think he's got the perfect coach in Jason Moss. And, like we were just saying, so many things to overcome in the first half of this season. And, you know, they've done it. They've come through with flying colors. And, you know, that's amazing to me. And I just think playing in the West, a strong start was so key to this season. And they took complete advantage of it through difficult circumstances. And I think, again, a lot of that comes back to Jason Moss for sure.
Chris O'Leary from CFL.ca joins us. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers, they handed the Eskimos their first loss of the season. The Bombers are 6-2. You mentioned that hot start in the West. What's exactly what the Bombers have done? I still believe the Grey Cup, or at least the West Final, will come through Alberta, or that's in Edmonton or Calgary. But the Winnipeg Blue Bombers have put together a pretty impressive first half of the season. You got to give a lot of credit to not just Andrew Harris, Mike O'Shea, but Matt Nichols has become a very good CFL quarterback.
He has. And, I mean, I think people in Edmonton who have followed him know his journey and how difficult it was. I mean, I think overcoming two major injuries that could have been career ending on either front, and just having the patience to wait through as a backup, you know, and then to have the trade to Winnipeg and to kind of start over. He's gone through a lot to get to this point. He's finally got some consistency now, where he came into camp this year as the unquestioned starter. And I think that made a big difference for him. And just having the faith of Mike O'Shea and his coaching staff to go out and lead a team through a season. You know, I think you're seeing him settle down and kind of become, or, you know, start to play up to the level that Eskimos fans thought that he could have, you know, back in 2012 and 2013.
Chris O'Leary from CFL.ca joined us. The BC Lions have a record of 5-4. They're good for fourth. They have the crossover. But the Saskatchewan Roughriders are 3-4. They clobbered the Lions before they had a bye week. They're in Edmonton to face the Eskimos on Friday night. Are the Riders slowly starting to turn a corner under Chris Jones?
I think so. It's almost unfortunate in a way, just that it's good for them that they're, you know, I think they're a much better team than they were last year. And, you know, I think they're starting to find their way. I think, you know, winning on the road is going to be the next step for them. But, you know, again, they're just like, they're playing in such a tough division and there's really no room for error. So, I mean, if they're turning a corner, they've almost got to turn it faster and just kind of, if they want to keep up and if they want to get in that crossover conversation. I think everyone's already kind of assuming that we're going to see a crossover this year from the West to the East. But, you know, if you want to be in that conversation, you've got to start winning games now. And like you said, I mean, they get Edmonton and, you know, they're coming off of their first loss. I'm sure they're not going to catch the Eskimos sleeping this week. So it's going to be tough for them. It's going to be tough for them the whole way. They're in a very tough division and a tough situation. Just as still, I think, kind of a new team and learning as they go. But yeah, they've got to kind of learning fast forward here.
Chris, you're based out of Toronto for CFL.ca, and you spent many years watching Ricky Ray throw many touchdowns for the Edmonton Eskimos. He threw 4 touchdowns in his return for the Toronto Argonauts, really turning back the clock and showing there's still some gas left in the tank.
Yeah, and again, I think it's one of those situations where it's a combination of a great quarterback and kind of the perfect coach and the perfect system with Mark Trestman. And, you know, it couldn't have gone any better for Ricky in Toronto this year. Getting just kind of a fresh start with Mark Trestman and then, you know, a lot of new players coming in. I think Esther Greek has been kind of a godsend for Ricky. I think their chemistry has been instant. And I think he's putting together a great season. And I think the big thing is just staying healthy. You know, I think they need to basically build a fortress around him and let him operate. And, you know, if you can do that, you know, he'll do great things for you.
The Hamilton Ticats are at the opposite end of the spectrum of the Argos and also the Eskimos. Hamilton 0-8. Nothing has gone right for the Hamilton Ticats so far in the 2017 season. Basically, this is maybe too easy a question, Chris, but what's going wrong with the Hamilton Ticats?
I mean, it's tough. I think it's a broad answer, right? I think there are a lot of things not working, and, you know, I think the offensive line has been a big problem, and then it kind of trickles down from there. You know, the quarterback is the most important position. You've got to, I think the first priority has to be protecting him. I think they have a great quarterback in Zach Caleros. They have a very solid backup in Foley. But, if, you know, if those guys don't get the time to do their thing, you know, it all just starts to kind of fall apart. And I think we've seen that offensively. I think defensively they're just they're giving up so much, right? And, you know, they've been burned on the pass all season. You know, they let Jeff Reinbold go, and so far, you know, that hasn't paid off for them. I don't know that a coaching change at that position was the answer. I mean, I think something had to be done, but you know, it's just, I think they're in a deep hole. And, you know, and when you lose like this, I think when you're 0-5, 0-6, 0-7, 0-8, it gets tougher. You know, and I think those little plays. I watched Caleros fumble the ball away on a bad snap and just sort of dribbled the ball trying to pull it in, and Ottawa scooped it up around and for a touchdown. I think when you're in that situation, those little plays that might hurt the regular team, I think they can really deflate a team as 0-8. And, you know, it's just tough. I think there's a lot of things that need to improve there. And I don't think they're as far away week to week as it seems sometimes, but I think it just kind of compounds when you're in that situation.
Yeah, and like the Ticats are 0-8, like not a lot's gone right. You were on the Eskimos and they had some of those bad seasons, and sometimes a mid-season change doesn't really do any good for your team. So the Ticats might just be better to, you know, just ride this ship into the offseason and completely rebuild, or do you think they can turn it around still?
I mean, it's the CFL. I think just about any crazy thing that can possibly happen can. But, no, I mean, I've always been a firm believer, especially in the CFL, of just kind of sticking with your coaching staff. I think unless things get toxic in the locker room, if it just completely falls apart, I mean, you could say that 0-8 is an indication of that. But, no, I like you said, I don't think that a coaching change mid-season often benefits a team. I think that you're better off to kind of see it through with the group that you've got, as long as that group can stay together. And you go back to that Eskimos team that won 4 games a few years ago, and I think that was their situation. You know, I still think, you know, they made the right move in sticking with the coaches that they had, and you know, just trying to steer your way through it. I mean, I think it only adds more distraction, more uncertainty, kind of not chaos, but just it's too much of a disruption, I think, mid-season to do that unless it's absolutely necessary.
Week 10 kicks off with the Alouettes home to the Bombers, Eskimos home to the Riders. BC travels to Ottawa, and Toronto is in Calgary. Chris, which game will you be paying closest attention to in Week 10?
There's a couple. I mean, I think you can make an argument for all of them, really, but I think that Winnipeg-Montreal one will be interesting to me, just to see the first game since that big Winnipeg comeback. That was one of the most incredible finishes to a game I've seen in the CFL. You know, Saskatchewan-Edmonton, Chris Jones going back there to see if maybe the Riders can turn a corner, and then how the Eskimos respond to their first loss, and you know, continue to deal with the injuries. I mean, there's really something in every game that's interesting to me. I think those are the first two though that I would want to see this week.
Chris, it was great to chat with you again. Thanks for your time, and I'll see you when you roll back through Edmonton.
Definitely, man. Take care.